We're going to be starting in verse 13. And we're not going to finish tonight. There's some very closing things when he brings in some other people. But Paul gives a series of closing guidance, if I could put it that way, to these people. And so they're random. They're put in a certain order that we're going to look at this evening. But let me ask you this question. We don't like to think about this necessarily, and so I'm not trying to stir up any bad memories or any thoughts, but maybe somebody, a loved one, that you were able to spend some time with before they passed away, and maybe it was a different occasion, maybe you're just parted from them for a very long time, but you were able to receive some very helpful instruction and guidance in your life. Isn't it amazing how many times in the Bible that was given, especially in the Old Testament? We see one of the patriarchs, maybe. We have Abraham, we have Isaac, we have Jacob, and you know, in their dying days, they come and they call their sons close to them, and they bless them, of course, but they also give them a lot of guidance. They tell them certain things, and boy, that was valuable to them. And of course, Paul here is not ready to die, but in a sense, he's closing a big letter up, and he's just kind of given them just, here's some things that I really want you to take to heart. I've told you a lot of things in 15 chapters, 15 and a half chapters. And he says here, these are just some important things that I want you to do as you continue. And obviously, as he closes, they are important things. I think that you can understand that if it's your last words, and we know he's going to go into 2 Corinthians, another letter, but for this letter, he's going to just kind of put in the final thoughts. And we know that those are important thoughts. And so my question to you is, how many of you had something, you don't need to share everything, but anybody want to share something that somebody shared with you that meant something to you as you were saying goodbye to them? Anybody like that? Maybe no one. That's fine. Billy. A lot of people in our lives that mean a lot, and so it's valuable to hear some of the things that those people say, and as we part ways with them. Anybody, again, maybe this is not something that you have, but just wanted to know, anybody like that, parting words, and did they mean, obviously, if you're going to share them, they meant a lot to you. Anybody else besides Billy? Paul here is saying some important things, and so pick up in verse 13. And we're just going to kind of go through, there's about five things here this evening that we're going to look at, but within each one, there's a number of things that we will look at. But here he says, so he's just given them things, I would say verse 13 is the transition of the close now. So he's closing his thoughts, and he starts off with a series of things. Verse 13, he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let your things be done with charity. That's what we're going to look at. He says a number of things, five things there that we're going to look at before he then, really technically, then in verse 15, he kind of brings people in and say, these people said hi, these people this, and he closes out, very typical of what Paul would do in the last 10 verses or so. He's going to give them just the names, the goodbyes, the everything else. There, but he says right before those names, he gives them two verses of five things that he said, this is what I want you to do. Important? Yes. That's why he does it when he does it. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump into this. He says, watch ye. I mean, that's quite a statement right there, watch ye. And so what is Paul talking about when he says to watch? The word watch here, I think, is not anything, it's not some deep hidden secret. The word watch here is to be on guard. Okay, to be on guard. It means to be alert. It means to be awake. He said, listen, there are things in your life. He said, look, wake up. I want you not to be drowsy. I don't spend your time right now. I'm getting ready to close. But he said the rest, and remember, they were waiting for the Lord's return. We think, oh, it's got, time's getting close. We really don't know. But they thought it was close then. Paul is writing to these people, hey, the last days are here. And he says, watch ye. He said, I want you alert. You be waiting. Waiting for what? I liken this verse to Ephesians 5. Turn to Ephesians 5:15 really quickly. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, we read, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And so he's telling these people here, Paul again, he says, I want you to walk circumspectly. The word circumspectly is what? I think I've gone over this word with you before. Divide it up. We've got circum and then spectly. Okay. Let's start off with the second half of the word, spect. What is that referring to? Right? What you see, right? What you're seeing. Okay? So everything that you're seeing, and of course we see what's around us, and especially if we turn around, we look and see what is before our eyes. What about circum? All around, okay? So see that ye look all around. So everybody starts looking around, okay? Looking around. What do you find? Well, I don't know that he's wanting us to turn around in our chairs right now and look around. That's what he's saying, but he's saying, see that ye look around. Don't be a fool, but be wise. In some ways, when Paul says it here in Ephesians chapter 5, he's talking about them. He's saying, don't be sleepy. Don't be apathetic. Don't be, another word is lackadaisical. You know where we're not, it's not that important to us. We just kind of take it and say, doesn't alarm me. You know, some people, they can't be alarmed at anything, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but God wants us, he's not saying I want you to be alarmed, but he says, I want you to know what's going around. I don't want you to be apathetic. I don't want you to just look and say, oh, it's not that big of a deal. He does want us to sit up straight. He wants us to look around and be looking for certain things. Be diligent. Be on guard. Be alert. Be awake. Awake to what? I think there's a number of things. I mean, all he says here is watch ye. Be diligent with your eyes. I want you to walk look circumspectly. Let's take note of what's going on in your life. What do you think Paul is telling them to be alert about? What are they supposed to be on guard about? Well, he just says, watch ye. And so I took some liberties to just go through some scripture and think about what are some other things that God tells us to watch out for? How can we be on guard and ready? I think we need to be on guard with our sin. 1 Peter 5:8 says what? Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And so what does Peter tell us in 1 Peter 5:8? He says, I want you to be alive and alert and awake. I want you to be diligently on guard. Why? Because of the tempter that's out there, the sin that is out there, ready to deceive you and to trip you up. Folks, I believe that Paul is telling these people, he says, be alert, or he says, be awake. He says, watch ye. Be diligent for what is out there. Why? Because the devil is out there looking to trick and to trap you, very specifically towards you. There are certain things that you might be vulnerable towards. And God does not want us to be to be apathetic towards these things. He doesn't want us to think, oh, listen, I'm a Christian and I'm far above that. Listen, that's out of my past. I don't have any problems with that anymore. We need to be careful. And Paul simply says, watch ye. Be careful of the ways that the devil would like to deceive you, like to trip you up. And so we have to be careful and be on guard concerning sin. I don't know what it is for you. And when I say you, I'm talking to each one of you. As I look around the room, I don't know what it is for you. But God's telling us tonight, watch ye. You be careful because you're tired. You're discouraged. You're not thinking rightly, properly. You've got some distractions in life, some concerns, some health needs, some spiritual needs, some emotional needs, some physical needs, some financial needs. You know what? The devil loves to come in from the back and trip you up in a certain sense because you're not ready for them. And God's just telling us here in a very simple sense, watch ye. Be diligent, be careful, because the devil would know, he would love no more than to come in and trip you up. So be on guard concerning sin. Be on guard concerning the upcoming dangers in life. Proverbs 22:3, really quickly. Proverbs 22, verse 3. Somebody get that and read it. Somebody who would want to. Proverbs 22:3. One of a couple verses that's this way. Anybody? Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Nice and loud.
A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on in their
punishment. Read that first part again. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. The prudent man foreseeth the evil. You know how he sees the evil? Because he's circumspect, he's watching, he's looking, he is alert, he's awake, he is watching, right? And here we see, you know, that we've got to be careful with what could come. Not that we want to, you know, imagine all kinds of things. We're not supposed to be conspiracy theorists, okay? I know some people that are looking out there and just think, boy, do you know everything that's going on out there? That's not what he's saying, but just be real with the truth of what is out there. And we need to be very aware of what's going on, because we want to understand the upcoming dangers that are coming our way and help us to know and be aware of how we should vote, how we should educate people, how we should raise our children, because these things are coming down the pike and we need to be aware of them. And so he says the prudent man foreseeth that, and he's going to do something. And Andrew, what was the last part of that verse, if you're still there? The simple pass on and are punished. You know what the idea of that is? Kind of that apathetic thought. The simple just, they look out there and they said, yeah, that's out there. But they don't, they're not prudent. They're not looking around. They're not protecting themselves. And as a congregation, folks, I want you, we need to be very protective on what is out there, on what's coming our way. What are people saying? We need to be prudent. And so he says, watch. He said, I just want you. Doesn't mean you got to get involved. It doesn't mean you, but just watch. Just know what's going on out there. Okay, so upcoming dangers. He tells us to watch, to be on diligent guard, to be useful in ministry. Let's go to a number of verses. Romans 1:15. Romans 1:15. I'm going to ask you to get involved tonight, so be ready to read Romans 1:15. Who will read that one, even if you're not there? I need somebody to read Romans 1. I'm going to go through 1, 2, 3, 5, 5. So I need some volunteers. Zach is going to read Romans 1:15. I need somebody else to be ready to read 1 Timothy 6:18. Roger will be ready to read 1 Timothy 6:18. Hopefully I'm giving you the right verses here, okay? Number three, I need somebody else to read 2 Timothy 4:6. 2 Timothy 4:6, Ezekiel's got that one, 2 Timothy 4:6. And then we've got Titus 3:1, just two more. Titus 3:1, who will read Titus 3:1? No one. Andrew will read Titus 3:1, and then I need one person to read 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15. Anybody willing to read? Okay, Rodney. Is Rodney or Judson? I couldn't remember whose hand. Rodney's got it, okay? That's 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15. Okay, so all of these use an interesting word, okay? And, well, if they don't use, it's the idea, but I think the word ready is in these verses, okay? Be ready. And so this word ready is to be, it's the same idea, to be on diligent guard, to be awake, to be watching. How can we be ready? And so let's look and see about these. If you're not there, let's listen. Let's start with Romans 1:15. What do we need to be watching and waiting for there? Go ahead.
So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also.
Okay, what's Paul saying here? How was he watching? He was ready to give the gospel. Have you ever found yourself not ready when an opportunity came up to share the gospel with somebody? Oh, so many times that I was just doing my daily things, you know, and going and here somebody comes along and something was said, there was a little bit of a contact there, and you walk away and you're thinking, I should have been ready to give the truth. But you know what our problem is we're not watching. We're not looking for opportunities to give the gospel. And guess what? When we're not ready, what happens? We miss them. And we're kicking ourselves the rest of the day because you say, I don't know if I'm going to get another opportunity with that person. I've done it so many times. Why? Because we're not watching. Do you know that every day when we step out of our home, we ought to be praying, say, God, I'm out into the mission field now. Some churches, you have seen this over their doorways as you go out, you're now entering into the mission field. We don't have that, but every time we step out of our circles, we ought to be looking and watching and prepared to give the truth. Because if we're not prepared, it likely will not happen. Because we're about our own business. Whose business are we about? We ought to be about our Father's business, right? Why are we here? Do you know that God did not put you on this earth to be a whatever you are? Honestly, it's a means. It's a means. God gave you the opportunity to do what you do so though that you could give the gospel. And glorify God in a number of ways. But we need to be watching and waiting. We need to be ready for that every day. And so Paul here is saying that we're ready. We're ready to give the gospel. Question, are you ready to give the gospel? Are you looking for that opportunity? You step out your door and you go to your car and you drive down the road and you get out and you go to that store or that business or that place. Are you ready? Are you waiting? Are you looking for that opportunity that somebody says and you've got that bridge statement, you've got that whatever's going on in your life or let me pray about that. Whatever it is, you're looking and watching for it. There's a lot of things that we need to be alert and watching for. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6:18. What do we need to be ready here? Ready to distribute. What's that? That's a word for ready to give, right? Ready to serve, ready to minister in some way, ready to give. Same thing here. Are we watching to use our resources to help somebody else? And sometimes we're thinking about our own selves. You know, that's why I got to save this money, I got to do this, and we're not thinking about anything else. But you know, we're supposed to watch and be ready for that. Be ready to see a need. Did you come to church tonight saying, hey, Lord, I don't know what you're going to have, but if there's anything you want me to be aware of, to hear something, God, would you ring my bell so that I'm aware of it? But many of us aren't that way. We're not thinking that way. But here we're instructed. All he says is watch. He says, be ready. Be ready for what, we say. Well, we look at some other scriptures and places that he tells us, be ready. Be ready to distribute. Be ready to give. Be ready to minister. Be ready to serve. Let's look at the third one, 2 Timothy 4:6.
For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand.
Ready to be offered. I don't like that one. Okay, he's going to be offered. What is Paul saying? He's ready to sacrifice, right? He's ready to, and for Paul, he's saying, I'm ready to, I'm ready to die for the cause of Christ. Now you say, oh, I don't like that one. But here's the question. Are you ready? Let's put it just very down on our level. Are you willing and ready to just say no to yourself for the sake of others? God asks us in the book of Romans, he doesn't tell us, he doesn't say that we have to die. Rather, a living sacrifice, right? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. So here's the question with this one. Are you watching? Are you ready to just say no to me? Say no to myself so that somebody else can be helped. Now that's an interesting thing to be ready for. We go out our door and we're thinking about who? But we ought to be going out, and when I say out, it doesn't even have to be out our door. It might be within our own home. How can I be a blessing? How can I say no to myself so that I can say yes to somebody else? You know, most people that play baseball don't like to be that sacrifice person. If I was ever playing, baseball was one sport I never really played the organized game, but I enjoyed it. But certainly if a coach would have told me, hey, I want you to be the sacrifice. It's like giving up my right to play so that somebody else could, okay? But think about that. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He gave his life. He died so that you could live. That's what we're to do. I'm supposed to say no to myself so that we can live. Watch ye. Are you ready to give yourself? Are you ready? Are you looking for the opportunity to say no to yourself? We're supposed to watch. Titus 3:1. To be ready to do every good work. So we're supposed to be ready to follow. Ready to do things. Are you ready to, and it, similar thoughts, but ready to serve instead of just give, but ready to serve, ready to be there to I don't like to say the word comply, not blindly, but ready to be there to help. When you step into a place, are you thinking about yourself and how they're to serve you? Or are you ready to serve others? Oh, you're a guest at a let's say a wedding. You know, you get an invitation, you go to a wedding, and I'm a guest of honor here, and I'm coming because they invited me. And all of a sudden, there's a need. You know, that's not for me, and you just watch. And I hope somebody takes care of that situation. Or are you the kind of person that goes there and, oh, there's a need, let me jump to that? So many times we are not watching, we're not waiting, and we're not ready. We're not ready to be used in this sort of way. Let's look at the last one. 1 Peter 3:15. Ready to give an answer. Apologetics. Ready to share the truth about God's word. Very similar to the first one, Paul, giving the gospel, but ready with answers. How can we be ready with answers? We're going to have to study God's word, okay? We've got to be in God's word all the time. But we need to be ready, okay? So Paul tells these people, watch ye. Be ready. Be alert. Be ready, be alive. Don't be apathetic to the things that, don't go through life just doing your thing, but be ready for God to use you. And so a number of things that we see here that we need to be ready. Ready concerning you know, useful ministry, like we just went through. Ready, here's another one that we didn't look at, but 2 Timothy 4, 1-5 is, I'll just tell you, that's concerning false teaching. You know, we need to study God's word so that we know what's out there. New things come our way. And what about this theology that's out there? What about, you know, we need to be very aware of the word of God. Do you study? Let me ask you this question. Do you study God's word? And I hope that you have a time of devotion. That's a fancy word of saying getting into God's word and reading it. And also then, you know, hopefully there's communication. God speaking to you. You speaking to God, hopefully you have that. Let me ask, do you study God's word though? Do you know that it is our responsibility to study? Study to show thyself approved unto God. God wants us to be students of his word, but he also wants us to study, not just for ourselves, but he wants us to study so that we can be aware of what's going on out there, and I say the best way to be aware of what's going on out there is to be aware of what God's word says here. Understand what the word of God is so that you identify the errors of the day and the things that are out there. So study, and we could spend so much time on this. This is just one of five things. So he says, watch ye. Let's move on. What's the next phrase? Watch. So we need to be diligently on guard. And then he says, stand fast in the faith. This word stand fast is to be determined to remain unchanged concerning the faith. Now, the faith that is referred to here is not like trust of just like, boy, I trust God. I'm having faith that God's going to do this. This faith is more of my faith in God's word, the truth, the gospel. And he's saying, I want you to stand firm in that. He says, stand fast in the faith. Be determined to remain unchanged concerning my faith. I'm not going anywhere. And, you know, have you ever had somebody ask you a question, and all of a sudden it was kind of like a curveball to you, and I'm like, where did that come from? I don't know. And all of a sudden, the first thing that came through, maybe what I understood isn't true. Folks, that's not the first thing that ought to come to your mind. It's like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Bible's wrong. Maybe, no. What you know is what God's word says, and what you need to do is get into the word so that you understand the truth, but be unchanged. Don't waver with it. Be strong. Be steadfast in the faith. Resolved. Let's look at a few passages of Scripture. Let's go to Colossians 1:23. Let's all turn there, and let's turn quickly, okay? Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 23. We're going to look at several things that we need to be determined to remain unchanged or resolved concerning our faith. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Here we see the teachings, the things that we have been taught. Here we are resolved with doctrine. Resolved with doctrine. Well, the first thing is we need to know doctrine. What does God's word say about certain things? And again, we've got to be students of God's word. But as we see God's word, then we need to be grounded and, what does it say? Settled. Settled it. You don't have to hash it out again. It's settled in my mind. This is the truth. Is it a fact that Jesus rose from the dead? When a neighbor asks you about it, should you go back into this dilemma of, did he really? What do you think? What does the verse say? No, be grounded and settled. You don't need to go back and prove it. You know that it's the truth. Stand on it and give them the truth. Stand on the truth. Stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in doctrine. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2:15. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Just a couple pages further back. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Maybe a little bit more indirect, but 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Here, as I look at this, I kind of see not just resolved with doctrine, but resolved with practice. The traditions that we have made. Now, again, we don't do things just because they're traditional. But in the sense of this, the tradition that is given here, this is how we've been taught growing up. This is what we've learned based upon the doctrine. This is how we practice. And you know what he's saying here is listen, stand fast with what you have not blindly made a tradition. We're not talking about that kind of tradition, but stand fast with the way you've been taught and been practicing. Don't be so quick to just throw it out when somebody asks, is there really truth to that? Stand firm on it. Young people, can I say this? You stand fast with the way you've been taught. Stand fast with it. Don't be so quick to abandon it. Don't be so quick to just to get free and say, oh, now I can think for myself. And really, what truth is it? Is there a verse and is there a chapter in the scripture to prove this? Listen, stand fast the way God has taught you. Yes, search the scriptures daily like the Bereans. Prove that it's true. But don't be so quick to just say, listen, this is for the old group and I can make my way. Stand fast with those things. Make sure you prove the scriptures, but be determined. It's kind of like when you go into court. What's the when somebody goes before the court, what do we recognize in America? Innocent until proven guilty. Can I put it this way? You stick with how you have been raised. I say especially if you've been raised in a Bible-believing church with parents that love the Lord, I want to encourage you, you stick with what you've learned until, you know, if maybe there's something, and I want to be very hesitant in saying it, but, you know, maybe there's something that maybe you understand in Scripture, but be careful. I was on the phone with an individual a year ago, last year, and we were talking about an individual that just seemed to be slipping and not sticking with it. I was asking questions, I just don't understand. You know, and this younger guy in the ministry was asking a lot of questions and kind of just beginning to ask a lot of questions and abandoning so many things that have been rock solid in our circles for just ages. And I was asking this other, another evangelist, a friend of mine, we were just talking, I was like, how and why? You know, he just made a comment to me, said this. He said, the younger generation right now is a very questioning generation, and they question everything that we as individuals in the past have stood for. They're just a generation of questioning everything. And I just want to say to you, we ought not be a questioning generation. We ought to be a stand fast generation. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't think for yourself. I'm not saying that. But right now, the generation is let's rethink everything. And you young people, I want to tell you something. That is a dangerous position to be in, to rethink everything. Assume that it's right, unless it's determined as you study the scripture that maybe something was wrong. But folks, there's a reason why so many men and women of God have stuck to those things. And there's a lot of young, I'm just going to throw it out there, there's a lot of young men out there today that are questioning everything that's coming down, the things that their fathers and their grandfathers and their pastors and their grandpastors, okay, whatever, have stood for. It's true. Andrew, there's guys that went to school with you that are questioning a lot of things. I know, and I don't know why, because I'm the guy that gets the phone call. Seriously, Melissa and I have had this ministry, and I don't know, I have gotten phone call after phone call after phone call of guys, and they're going, there's a lot of guys that are questioning everything that we've done. And they're saying, listen, we've been sticking with this for how many centuries and things, and why? Why are we now we coming to this? And I say, as Paul says, he says, stand fast. You be careful with a new idea. Be careful with it. It's been proven over and over, and all of a sudden, we get to be the grand old age of 25, 30, 40, and we think that we have discovered something that's not been there. And I'm just saying, and this is not just to the young people, this is to everybody, and I don't want you to get the idea that I'm saying it's okay not to, I'm not saying that you just blindly agree with everything. But I'm telling you, we are losing this next generation, and I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know about the generation below, and I'm just saying some of our young people that's in the post-college age, I'm just going to say it's rampant. Rampant. I would almost say that losing. We are losing so many of those. And they're questioning everything that was stood for. They're wanting to get away from fundamentalism. They're wanting to get away from our Baptist doctrine. They're wanting to get away from our separation. They're wanting to get away from conservative views on everything. Let's erase all the lines. And let's just get along with everybody. And that's killing us. It's killing us. And if we don't raise a generation that is going to stand fast with the way we have been taught, we're going to lose a lot. And all you young people in this room, I'm going to tell you, you better be careful. Be careful. Study the scriptures. Understand the scriptures. Be determined that you know what's right. But we need to be so careful with this. Resolve for doctrine. Resolve for practice. Resolved with our thoughts. Do you remember Philippians 4:8? What is that passage? I don't know, some of you probably have it memorized. I've got it memorized just out of order, okay? Okay, I never remember which one is next, okay? But what is Philippians 4:8 address? We're not supposed to change. We've got to be careful with our mind, our thoughts. Do you know that God wants us to be steadfast with our thoughts? Our thoughts can really take us in a big circle. Be careful with your thoughts, people. Be careful. Be steadfast with them. At any point in time, you could wake up and you could have crazy thoughts. But that doesn't mean that you should follow those thoughts. That doesn't mean those thoughts are right. Just because you thought it doesn't mean that God gave it to you. Did you hear that? You say, well, I'm a Christian and I thought this. Can you imagine basing your life on your thoughts? Wise or dangerous? You all ought to be shouting dangerous. Don't follow your thoughts and don't follow your heart either. Be steadfast with your thoughts. In other words, turn your eyes upon Jesus. You better keep your eyes on Christ. You better keep your eyes on what's right. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Keep your thoughts there. And Philippians 4:8 is all about the truth, all about those thoughts. You better stick with those things that are right. Be resolved with your thoughts. Steadfast in the faith. Resolved with Jesus. Resolved with Jesus. Philippians 1:4 says always in every... Is that... No, Philippians 4:1. I thought that was wrong. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the... Lord, my dearly beloved, stand fast in the Lord. Keep yourself on the Lord. We're instructed to watch ye. Be diligently on guard. Be diligently on guard concerning sin. Be diligently on guard concerning upcoming dangers. Be diligently on guard to be useful in ministry, ready to preach, ready to give, ready to die and sacrifice, ready to do good work, ready to give an answer to every man that asketh, ready to defend false teaching that is out there. Stand fast in the faith, resolved with good godly doctrine, resolved with godly practice, resolved with your thoughts, resolved with thoughts on Jesus. And then he goes and says, quit ye like men. And I'm going to quit here, okay? He says, quit ye like men, but there's too much, so I'm going to have to stop. And so we're going to stop this evening, but he says, quit ye like men. Be spiritually matured. And so next time we're going to talk about what it means to be, what does it mean to be? And he does talk about manliness here. Okay, there's a strength in manliness that we're going to confront. Quit ye like men, he says, be strong, and then of course everything in love. So we still have over half of them to go. But tonight, what have we learned? Watch, okay, watch ye. Don't go through the Christian life haphazardly. Be sober and be vigilant. Okay, be careful. Be ready, 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 ready. Stand fast. Be determined to stay where you're at. Okay? Again, I say this. It doesn't mean that you have to do everything the same way that everybody else does. I'm not saying it's cookie cutter Christianity, but I'm saying this. Just be careful. Be extremely careful when you think that you've got a new thought or a new idea. Because it could be the very thing that leads to your danger. Be extremely careful. And that's why, you know, Paul, and again, I say in his old age, not necessarily, but as he concludes his letter, he says, Church at Corinth, you've asked me a lot of questions. And Paul has spent a lot of time dealing with a lot of issues. But he says, as I conclude this, there's some things that are just rock solid, steadfast. He says, you watch. And he says, you be steadfast in the faith. Don't be so fast to move. Father, would you help us? Father, would you help us as we examine the scriptures? Help us to do right. Help us to be diligent with them. Help us to be very steadfast in all that we do, Lord. Thank you for what you've confronted in our lives tonight. Help us to do right. And Lord, help us not to be wise in our own eyes, but to look to you. Help us to be humble and teachable, a teachable spirit. God, thank you for what you've given, and help us as we move forward this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.